When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Maeve Marsden and you're listening to Queer Stories, the podcast for the LGBTQI+ storytelling night I host and program around the country. If you're a regular listener, you'll notice that I am yet again recording a new intro for the podcast. I feel a lot of pressure now to keep things fresh so that the relationship doesn't get stale. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. Please check out the back catalogue of stories. There's some really, really wonderful work there. And please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast so you can stay up to date. Consider purchasing a copy of the Queer Stories book, which I published with Hachette Australia last year. And when you've got a moment, look at My Mother's Kitchen on your phone, a collaboration I did with Google's Creative Labs. Follow Queer Stories on socials for event updates and check out Maeve Marsden on crowdfunding platform Patreon. I don't know why that sounded so sing-song. On crowdfunding, it's awkward when you're asking people for money. But look, I've got a Patreon page and for a small monthly donation, you can help me to continue to run these events. Anyway, please enjoy the podcast. Monica Zanetti is an Orgy-nominated screenwriter whose credits include the film Skin Deep and the TV shows Sisters, Tonightly with Tom Ballard and Channel 10 series My Life is Murder, starring Lucy Lawless. Her most recent project has been writing and directing a high school LGBT rom-com called Ellie and Abby. Monica performed this story in Sydney.
In November of 2012, I had my heart broken by an AFL player from Adelaide. We'd hooked up at the failed revival of the music festival, Homebake. At first, we had some lively text banter. Memes had only just come into my life and I was excelling at sharing them. But quickly, I began to feel the familiar pangs of disappointment as I realised our conversation was becoming one-sided. After 24 hours with no reply, I first did what we all do when we get ghosted. Checked my vagina with a mirror to make sure it wasn't in some way terrifying and had just scared her off. To this day, it's hard to say. I had no queer friends back then, only my first ex, and there was no Tinder, only RSVP, which cost $10 to send an email, and I was an unemployed aspiring writer, so my options for rebounding were pretty slim. Not to mention Adelaide Girl had been a rebound to begin with from said ex, so I was pretty fucked. I sat on Facebook, resisting the urge to stalk the two women I was in love with, when suddenly a photo popped up. It was a picture of a small cat. She had been left behind at a block of flats by her previous owners and desperately needed a home. Now, I may have had limited experience with queer culture at this stage, but what I had picked up from my favourite closeted lesbian, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, we all know. It was that cat was gonna save my life. Within an hour, I was on my way to pick her up, well before I checked with my roommate to make sure it was okay, which it wasn't. I had to move out. But she was mine. Our first night together can only be described as a disappointment. What I needed was affection to distract me from my unrequited loves. What I got was a cat on heat. Yep, she spent the night rolling on the ground in unbearable sexual agony while I tried to distract her with string. Yet, as I watched her in this state, a state that would only end by being impregnated or de-sexed, I looked at her and I realized, you win, Kat. You've got it worse than me. The next day, I took her to get de-sexed. It cost the same as sending 20 RSVP emails. I then realized I've always named my pets after women I had a crush on. When I was 9, I got a cockatiel, which I named Linda after Linda Twist from Round the Twist. Season 2 exclusively. I also got a guinea pig, which I named Juliana after a guest character on the Channel 10 smash drama Sequest DSV. Niche. When I was 11, we got a dog. And I realised this time I was going to have to be a bit more careful, as my friends had nervously started to notice the lack of men appearing in posters on my wall. I called the dog Pepper. Nice, but an alias. See, I knew the dog's real name was Piper. That is another curveball. See, Piper wasn't the person I had a crush on. Piper was the name of Gillian Anderson's daughter. That's right, I secretly named my dog after Gillian Anderson by giving her her daughter's name and changing one letter. Yeah. Do not feel bad for me, you should be impressed. I tried out a few names with my cat. For a few days, she was Little Dorrit the cat, which is a Claire Foy reference. Look it up. But finally, I settled on the crush that every 2012 lesbian in her early 20s had. Zoe Deschanel. And so Zoe, the rebound cat, was named. A couple of years went by before Zoe was given another chance to step up to the plate as heartbreak support animal. It was my first adult relationship where we said, I love you, after 4 weeks, and while we didn't move in together after 3 months, I absolutely would have. And then suddenly it was over in a dumping that I didn't see coming. I returned home from the breakup, which took place at Cooper's on King Street. And that is all I will say, because they are definitely in this room and that is queer culture. All I wanted after that was to hold my cat and cry. Would she be able to tell that I was in pain? She could always tell when I needed to go to the toilet, so sure. I burst into the lounge room to find my younger brother, but no cat. Where's Zoe? I sobbed. Not here, my brother said. Had I forgotten that a friend had her because we were having a party the next night? I had. And so I cried even harder. My brother, bewildered at the state of me, tried his best. You know what we should watch right now? He said. Rake. And so he just put it on for me and then left. Then, 5 years ago, I went on a second date with a girl who I really liked. She seemed to maybe like me. So for this to go well, all I had to do was take my heart off my sleeve for one evening and try not to reveal that I was the type of person who fell in love with an AFL player from Adelaide after one hookup. I did not succeed. The night ended in me getting so drunk from nerves that I got kicked out of Stonewall. Where she, decided to stay. I'm also not sure how I got home that night, but I do know from my call log that I called her 15 times on the way. Just to chat. She did not answer because she was at Stonewall. So no one was more surprised than me when she messaged me the next day. No one. We moved in together after dating for a year and a half. No one said I love you until at least the 3-month mark. Yes, it was me. We created mutual friends, became aunties, lost loved ones, did groceries on a Sunday, took our mums to lunch, and built a life over 5 years that was the simple monogamous bliss that I never thought I'd get. Zoe the rebound cat just became Zoe the cat. There were to be no more rebounds. Well, that was the plan. I only learnt the name internalised biphobia a year ago. Before that, we didn't have a name for her pain. I watched helplessly as throughout our relationship she struggled to feel comfortable both within the community and outside of it. I watched as she saw counsellor after counsellor who didn't know how to help her as the awareness around internalised biphobia is so limited. I watched as oblivious friends told her stories about women who used to be gay but are now with a man, completely erasing her identity in front of her. I watched as my own refuge in our community, which I so desperately needed and loved, made her feel more isolated. And finally, I watched as her crippling self-hatred was topped only by the shame of realizing that the societal pressure of being in a same-sex relationship was too much for her, and she couldn't do it anymore. I returned home after our breakup and barely made it through the door before collapsing onto the ground. And as I lay there sobbing, I felt a little furry face pushing up against mine. There she was, Zoe the rebound cat, reporting for duty at last. Not only giving me her love and attention, but almost seemingly wailing in solidarity with me. What had actually happened is that I hadn't fed her the night before, so she was really just fucking hungry. I mean, like, she did have dry food left in her bowl from yesterday, but, like, cats aren't great with nuances like that. Anyway. As I lay there crying, she lay there also crying. The horror at having to eat yesterday's dried food, just all too much. I looked at her and I thought, you win, cat. You've got it worse than me. And so I got up and I fed her. And just like that, me and Zoe the rebound cat, we started again.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this story, please share it on social media and hashtag it Queer Stories so I can share it further with the world. Hope to see you at one of the events soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.